Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. The Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129 presents America This Week, a smart Catholic take on faith and culture with Father Matt Malone and Tim Reedy.
All right, well, we got it right that time. This is Tim Reedy, joined by Father Matt Malone. And we are talking about, we are here with the president of the American Bible Society, Dr. Roy Peterson, talking a bit about the Living Word Project, the collaboration between ABS and America, which has been ongoing for about 18 months now and will end this November. And you can learn more at americamagazine.org/livingword. But we also want to share some news with our listeners. Dr. Peterson, there's a big move happening for American Bible Study. For a long time, they were not far from here in New York City, but you'll be moving to
Philadelphia. Right on the Liberty Mall, across from the Liberty Bell.
Right back to the beginning.
Right back to the beginning of our country, and to the actually the founder of American Bible Society was born in Philadelphia in 1740, and he worked with General Washington in the building of this nation. And as he grew older and as the nation started to take shape, he saw there was a need for a Bible agency that would focus on the scripture needs of this young fledgling nation. We were at around 18 or 19 states at the time when he cast the vision for American Bible Society.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, you've got all these school groups who go to Philadelphia every year or, you know, to visit the Constitution Center, to Liberty Bell. So
that's right.
This will be one stop on their journey.
And it's an untold story. You know, on the Liberty Bell, there's a verse from Leviticus chapter 25 about proclaiming liberty throughout the land. And so the scriptures are on the bell, engraved on our Liberty Bell. And yet the story of the scriptures and the founding of our nation has been largely untold. And so there you have at one end of the mall is Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence was signed. The other end of the mall is the Constitution. And the Lord has placed us right in the center of the mall, the Bible. These three documents are going to be there for school groups. Millions of people a year come to that mall to hear the story of the founding of our nation. Now the Word of God is going to be there, we trust, starting in 2017. It'll take about a year for us to build that out, but that we're excited.
And because if you're ignorant of the Bible, then it's very hard to appreciate what was in the minds and hearts of the founders, right?
Right.
And it's hard to really get a robust appreciation of American history because it is in every way connected at every major historical turning point for the last 200 years.
And we hope to show how the Bible was in the fabric of these men and women's lives and was their inspiration, their motivation, and something that sustained them in the building of a nation.
Now, the American Bible Society has been non-denominational from the beginning, right?
It is. It's an interconfessional from the beginning. We want to work in partnership with the whole church.
Right. We're very proud of the partnership we have with American Bible Society at America. It's just been terrific to work with you all in this 2 years, really, you know, looking at Scripture and the life of the Church and this celebration of Dei Verbum. And also, I think, you know, to hold up a model of ecumenical collaboration,
yes.
You know, that wouldn't have always been a part of our history, but is so vital to our present and our future.
Yeah, well, there's a beautiful spirit of cooperation and partnership in the church today that's bringing people together. And the Word of God has been bringing elements of the church together. And in Ethiopia last week, I sat with the Patriarch of the Orthodox Church of Ethiopia, representation of the Cardinal from the Catholic Church and Evangelical Church. We all were having dinner together celebrating the work of the Scriptures in that beautiful nation in Africa. And I'm finding this all over the world. We've done rare Scripture exhibits in the Vatican in partnership with the Catholic Church to demonstrate this amazing legacy of the written Word of God that goes back centuries. And that, by the way, there will be an exhibit of rare Scripture again. This will be our fourth one, two at the Vatican, one we took to Cuba, and then this one will be on display in Philadelphia during the World Meeting of the Family.
That's fantastic.
It's been remarkable, this collaboration we've had, and the events, I think, have been, for those who have been able to attend, and we have some of the documents, audio and video, up online, but to take one example, we had Amy Jalavine, a a Jewish scholar talking about the parables of Jesus at the American Bible Society, sponsored by a Catholic ministry. It was this wonderful confluence, and you thought, you know, 50 years ago, a number of people commented, and this would have never happened.
Yeah. In our new site in Philadelphia, we're contiguous with the first synagogue to ever be built in America.
That's right. That was in Philadelphia, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's right next door to our new headquarters. And so we're picturing a garden area there with key scriptures from the Old Testament that would be unifying us around the person of Abraham and Moses and the prophets and a beautiful connection between the headquarters of American Bible Society and the first synagogue to ever be built in America.
That's fantastic. And so does ABS do a lot of programmatic outreach to the Jewish community and scholarship?
I would not say a lot, but I think in this beautiful setting where we have the synagogue on one side and the Jewish Museum of American History on the other, we are in a place to build relationships like we never have before. And of course, the Green family, which is the Green family building the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., they are including a strong component of Judaic scriptures in their exhibit in Washington, and we're partnering with the Greens for our Bible experience in Philadelphia. So I think we'll see some of that cross-pollination between the Washington Museum and the museum we'll be putting in Philadelphia.
And for our listeners who may not know, this Museum of the Bible that's being built in Washington is an extraordinary thing. I went to a presentation where they kind of rolled out the plans and they showed how it would work, and I have never seen anything like it in my life. It's going to be very near the U.S. Capitol. I think it's like a 5-minute walk to Museum of Native American History. And when it's finished, they say it would take you something like 10 full days see the museum.
That's right.
Wow.
Right? That's right.
I mean, interactive exhibits and dioramas, and there's a ride you can get on, and you travel all around Washington virtually, and you see biblical citations on the side of buildings, and also all of this research going on in that place.
That's right.
And speaking about hopeful signs, one of the things that I thought was great was that they have a partnership with the Vatican, and the Vatican Museum itself is going to have an office in this new facility.
That's right. The documents have just been signed. The agreement is in place now where the Vatican will be loaning incredible, rare archive scriptures to be on display in Washington, D.C. in a rotation of materials that people in the U.S. would have otherwise had to travel to Italy to see. It's going to be an amazing asset to the body of Christ here in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, these are wonderful initiatives, and it seems to me they're coming at just the right time, because as we had in our news roundup, you're looking at Gallup reporting that organized religion has fallen to fourth place in terms of most trusted institutions. And you'd have to think that the Bible probably goes along with that. And some people, young people, millennials, the nuns, might have some questions about whether they even need to engage the Bible. So this all-out effort seems to come right at the perfect time.
Well, there has been if we think about our parents' generation, you know, our parents, probably 95% and above, thought of the Bible as being sacred. And there's been a 30% drop when you look at the millennial viewpoint. The millennials' view of it's still high. It's 67% of millennials in our most recent research see the Bible as sacred. But that's a 30% drop from our parents' generation. So we're seeing a generational shift that we need to be proactive and initiate a conversation with the millennials about the Word of God and help them to engage it and discover what we have found in those pages.
And what do you think are some of the reasons behind that shift?
Yeah, we have an incredible internationalization of our culture. Just think of immigration, people coming from all over the world with a diversity of faith. And those people are now part of our interview. You know, when we go out and do national research, this great diversity of people in our nation are part of that interview process. And so we have people from all over the world. New York has an enormously high percentage of first-generation immigration here in the city of New York, and that's true across the country. And then we have a secularization of our education system and media.
Right.
And so there's lots of messages bombarding the hearts and minds of millennials that subtly or maybe even forcefully are marginalizing the scripture in their worldview.
I also think that there's a quite understandable reaction that happens when you learn more about the world, and that the world becomes increasingly smaller by virtue of the technology and migration. And you also see that it becomes more and more diverse, right? And And there's an understandable reaction to step back and say, well, wait a minute.
With all
of this diversity, how can anybody make a truth claim?
That's right. Right?
But we've been there before as a church, haven't we? I mean, that's the Areopagus, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To have all of these that
plethora.
Paul stood in the middle of, right? Exactly. Have all of these competing notions, and I think that one of the nice things about where we are in our ecumenical and interconfessional life as a church is that it's not a zero sum game, right? We're able to say, you know, there's actually. Yes, this is the way that we understand Scripture, and this is the way that other Christians understand Scripture, and the way we read it is different, but one doesn't have to be right at the expense of another, right? And that we can actually learn from one another.
Mm-hmm. And I think we just encourage, I remember doing an interview with Mariano Rivera, the famous pitcher of the New York Yankees, and talking about his years in the league, and he said he would say to other professional ball players when they would say something disparagingly about the Word of God, he would ask them, well, have you ever read it?
Right.
And that's a very powerful statement to a skeptic who has a worldview about the Scripture, but they never themselves have actually studied its claims and come to that conclusion themselves. They've accepted somebody else's opinion about the Scriptures. Have you ever read it?
Right.
Well, and it seems like your approach is a multi-pronged approach to allow people to engage the Bible in any way that they kind of, whatever access point they can find. So if it's art, you know, if it's a museum, or let them do it that way. But also, you know, if it's maybe occasionally hearing a podcast or something that way. But also learning about the founders and, oh, maybe this untold story, that brings them in. So you have to kind of leave all the doors open.
And, you know, one of the most powerful elements we've found, and I'm sure you've seen this too, is to study the Scriptures and look at it in a small group with other people. And to be part of a community that's looking at it and learning together. That's one of the most powerful ways to experience God's Word is with others.
And what's interesting is that younger folks, this is something I think that we assume about them that isn't true, that they're not interested in that kind of personal interaction. Mm. But in fact, what we've discovered in our own work is that there's a way in which they actually prize that inner kind of interaction in a bigger way precisely because so much of their lives are lived online and lived digitally. And so the person-to-person takes on this increased value.
I agree. That's a huge motivation for people to want to come together in small groups and learn together. A sense of community that is powerful around your spiritual relationship with God.
Yeah. And it really is meant to be read in community, isn't it?
It really is.
Right. It was written for a community, by a community. It's meant to be read in community.
And the church itself is that expression of community that we come together, we're on a journey together of faith, learning together, praying for each other, and studying the Scriptures together.
And so what can we expect in the years ahead? What are the big plans for the Bible Society?
Well, there's a trend in America of less people reading the Bible, and we're asking the church to join together to turn that trend around. And what would America look like if 100 million people were regularly engaging in the Scriptures in all churches, interconfessionally across all denominations, as you said? Right now, about 28% of America is regularly in the Bible. We estimate that's about 45 million people. Mm-hmm. And we're dreaming of the day that would double, that 100 million people in America, that the Bible would become cool again.
Right.
That it would be it would be really cool to be sitting during lunch with the Scriptures open and with somebody else doing a Bible study together. So I'd like to go out 10 years to 2025.
Yeah.
And we look back and say, look what God did. America is returning to the Word of God.
Yeah. That would be an amazing moment. And what is it that you think needs to happen in order to get there?
Well, it starts at the church. It starts at the parishioner level, the parish level, the priest, the bishop, the pastor, encouraging his parishioners to come together regularly, to inspire that, to organize it, to provide Scripture portions that really meet their needs. What are they struggling? What is your parish struggling with? What are the issues that you're seeing, the questions that need to be answered? And we want to help the local church meet those scriptural needs to engage people in their cities, in their towns.
Right. Well, we have, as I said, at America, been so happy to take part in this project because Catholics, we have this relationship with the scripture that it keeps it at a distance too often, you know, at an individual level. And so we said, well, why would I read the Bible? That's what Protestants do, right? But that the whole idea of the Council Fathers, the Second Vatican Council, was, you know, we need to remind folks that not only is it perfectly okay to sit down and read the scriptures, but it's something we ought to do, and that and not take it on as a burden, but as an invitation, really, right, to be consciously engaged in this relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. If you can get to church every morning and be in Mass every single morning, where you're going to be saturated with the Scripture. If you have time to do that in your daily week, you're going to be a person of the Word of God. But if your life keeps you from attending Mass every morning, then on the train or on the plane, along the way, even while you're driving, now you can click on the audio version and be listening to the scriptures hands-free.
Exactly.
While you're driving.
Yeah, and there's such richness there that is relatively new to the Catholic tradition. It really only in the last 50 years have we kind of rediscovered, you know, it's Bible's not just the Gospels, it's, you know, the letters of Paul, it's the Old Testament, and for a long time those were kind of neglected in the Catholic tradition. So it's been a real renaissance and rediscovery.
And a lot of that recovery is indebted to the biblical scholarship that was done by the Protestant churches. And so I think that it's a wonderful thing that there can be this life-giving relationship through scholarship, through prayer, through collaboration. It's a sign of hope, I think.
Yeah, it's a joy to partner together. 78 million Catholics across the country. If the Catholic Church alone became part.
Right, if they read the Bible, you get to that 100 million pretty quickly.
Yeah, we could go on vacation like you are this week.
That's exactly right. So how can our listeners find out more about American Bible Society?
Well, AmericanBible.org. We'd be honored to have you praying with us and supporting our efforts to get the scriptures out. So we'll be focusing both here in America on the 100 million, and then we'll be focusing on 100% of the languages globally will be translated. So we'll have a 10-year translation goal over this next decade, that every single language on the planet will have access to the Word of God in their language.
Amen to that. Dr. Roy Peterson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for the collaboration with America, and all of you at American Bible Society are always remembered in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.